Hello, welcome to the Country Caribbean Podcast. I am your host, Aileen. Today I am sipping on water. And you know what's funny? I was on Twitter and somebody said that people who walk around with like gallons of water, like, you know, the jug of water, be acting like they better than people. And then somebody replied to them and was like, damn, even when you drinking water and minding your business, people have a problem with it. So, it's been a minute since I put out an episode for people who listen consistently. It's been a lot that's been going on since the last episode. I had to take my finals. A car ran a red light, hit my car, then my car stopped working. I've been, like, brainstorming about what I want to do next. Because I told myself, like, hey, once you're done with school, you about to do this, 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 and that. And then out of nowhere, like, this obstacle just came out of straight nowhere. Like, I thought everything was going to go smoothly. Like, oh, I'm going to go get this fixed and everything going to be straight or whatever. Obviously, that did not work. So now I'm like, okay, damn, you know, my plan, the wrench got thrown in my plan. So what am I going to do next? And me, I'm a person, like, I know how to handle my stuff, but it's just that I'm very cautious because I think about the future a lot and has a lot to do with my anxiety. I think about the future a lot, and then on top of that, I have a child, so I'm constantly thinking about my child, and it's like I don't want nothing to happen to where like I'm away from my child for a long period of time, or that me and my child, like, everything just start going downhill. Like, I don't want my daughter to see the struggle, even though most people be like, oh, kids gotta see the struggle so it develops character, blah blah blah. No, like, I don't want my child to be stressed out at all. Like, my child's supposed to be living her life, being free, not knowing what's going on, and probably later on in life, like most people find out later on in life, you know, things that happen and things that, you know, a person was going through. I don't want my child to, like, go through that. But I'm so proud of myself with how I'm handling these obstacles that's been thrown in my way ever since I finished school, ever since I took my last final. I'm proud of myself because if this would have happened to me, I would say 2-3 years ago, I probably would have had a freaking breakdown. I probably would have been cussing everybody out. I probably would have been just a mess. But I've really been sitting down and just been learning how to control, just learning how to move. And then especially with me going to therapy, that's the title. So basically with me going to therapy, even though I only went 2 times, I really needed that to have somebody sit there and listen to what I have to say and process what I'm saying and tell me that, oh, how you're feeling is okay. You know, it's normal to feel like that. You know, you have every reason to feel like that. And that the way, like, it's not my, I wouldn't say it's not my fault, but basically the way people are treating me, yeah, it's not my fault. Like, how people treat me, it's not my fault. I didn't do nothing wrong with people treating me like shit. But just to have someone sit there and, like, care. And that boosted some confidence in me because I'm like, wow, I can really sit up here and talk to somebody, tell them how I'm feeling, tell them why I'm freaking out and why nobody's taking me serious or nobody really wants to listen. Tell them why I don't open up when it comes down to people. Even like the second time I went, she was like, you know, I see, you know, you're looking bright, you know, you're looking happy, even though deep down inside, I'm freaking the fuck out. Because with me, she said I have mild depression and I have anxiety. Me, I already knew about the depression part and the anxiety. I'm glad that I'm able to put a title on what the hell I'm going through, basically. So then when I see other people talk about, because a lot of people are out here diagnosing themselves. And at one point, I did diagnose myself and I ended up being right. Like, oh, I have depression. But my depression is not as strong as I would think it is. I'm still able to function. It's just that when I get low, I get low. And my anxiety finally has calmed down because since August, my anxiety has been like really, really high and all I've been thinking about is like I'm constantly looking over my shoulder, constantly looking over my shoulders, feeling like, you know, people that are talking to me, people that are speaking to me, trying to get close to me or trying to set me up. So my anxiety has been hot for a minute and it's been calming down even more. But, you know, I'm still looking, you know, I'm still being cautious of the people that are around me. You know, you can't, especially in Atlanta, like people be cool with you 1 minute and trying to stab you in the back 2 minutes after you just said you were cool with them. So my anxiety's finally calmed down. And for a while, I thought I had social anxiety, but I have regular anxiety because when I'm around people, like, I'm chill. Like, I don't know. I'm so into myself. I'm so into myself that I could walk in a crowd of people and not feel no type of way. Mostly because, like, these people don't know me. I mean, shoot, even if I were to go back to my old city where people know me, people went to school with me, I'll still walk through that crowd like it's no problem. So I can't relate to social anxiety. Like, because people think anxiety and social anxiety, like, some people can function better when they're just by themselves. And then some people, they do be freaking out when they're around a whole bunch of people because it's just a whole, all these eyes are on you. So one thing I want to talk about that's still going on is Summer Walker. Because a lot of people were telling her, like, girl, go cure that ish. They were telling her, like, oh, you're doing it for attention. You're just being lazy. You're using your anxiety as an excuse. You know, go away, figure it out, then come back when you better. And I'm like, no, those are all no-nos. Those are no-nos. Oh, my goodness. And then I was getting deja vu because I know when I started to speak out about going through depression and stuff, people were like, oh, you're doing it for attention. And then on top of that, I was pregnant too. So, you know, I already got all this attention on me because I'm pregnant. So then now I'm talking about, hey, I'm sad and stuff. Like, you know, this is supposed to be a happy moment. I'm not happy. And people are like, oh, you're doing that for attention. And, oh, you just want attention. Mostly they just said, you just want attention. You just want attention. You want attention. And people were saying, well, other people go through stuff too. Like, hey, I be depressed too. Hey, you not the only person that's depressed. And I'm like, no, it's not a club. It's not a competition. I'm already going through so much emotions being pregnant with my first child. And then on top of that, I'm already sad because baby daddy acting a fool, you know, my living situation, me actually becoming a parent, you know, I'm, you know, the future of my friendships. Like a lot of people that I were friends with when I was pregnant, I don't fucking fuck with them no more. So it's like, this is a lot. So people think that because Summer has money and she has access that she could go get that shit cured. And it's like, you don't get it cured. Like you go to a therapist and they'll teach you how to handle it better. But with social anxiety and being in front of like a million people, shoot, I could shoot. That'll make anybody be like, oh, I don't want to do this shit. But one thing that had me tight is when people was like, oh, she didn't want nobody to touch her. First of all, it's her body. If she don't want nobody to touch her, she don't want nobody to touch her. Why? What the hell is wrong with people? I mean, I understand, you know, you spend your money to meet this person. You know, you want your moment and stuff. But you can't, how the hell you get mad at somebody for setting boundaries? If I know that me being touched or even a hug bothers me, I'ma let it know. Like, and then her security, or it was somebody, her team, they let people know up front. So it wasn't like it was a surprise to them when they got close to her and they try to hug her or nothing. They were told in line that she don't want to be hugged. Something else. All I can remember is the, you know, don't touch her, don't hug her stuff. And it's, one girl was like, the nerve of her to do that. I'm like, bruh, how the heck? Because people think, like, because a person is a celebrity and it's like, hey, I'm giving you my time, I'm dedicating. You know, it's just a lot of entitlement. And, you know, I could see why a fan would be upset if you spend extra money to meet the person that you're a big fan of and you want your moment. So I could see them being upset. But I could also see, you know, if Summer's team is not making sure that they're setting stuff up to where she's not getting triggered, then someone's going to let it known, be known, like, hey, like, I don't want to do meet and greets. But then people are going to drag her and be like, oh, how come you don't want to meet your fans? You'll take our money. You'll give us this performance, but you don't want to meet us, people that really, 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 really rock with your music and stuff. It's like, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't type of situation. But if I was on her team, you know, I would set stuff up to where, like, that's what I don't understand. Like, you know, everybody's thinking about the money part, but it's like, y'all don't sit up there and get to know the person that y'all are working with. Me, I definitely get to know people I'm working with, so I know how to act accordingly around them. If I know that Jerry has social anxiety and that Jerry don't like to be touched, I'm gonna talk to Jerry and be like, hey, how do you feel about meet and greets? If you do a meet and greet, how would you want us to set it up to where, you know, you're not getting triggered and, you know, you're not freezing up? And like I said, when people say, oh, she's doing it for attention, she's doing it for act, first of all, people with real mental health who actually know what the hell they're going through, the last thing we want is all eyes on us. All right. That's the last thing we want, is all eyes on us. When I have my lows and I just want to lay in bed all day, or, you know, I'm still able to function, but, you know, I still want to be left alone, the last thing I want is people all up in my face, because I can barely focus on an actual conversation when I'm feeling low. Deadass, like, for real. And especially when you speak out on your mental health and people be like, oh, we're just people that's going through worse. It's people that are going through worse. Like, I understand that people are going through worse, but don't tell me, like, I should be happy that I'm not going through worse. Like, a lot of worse for some people be physical. Like, this is something that's internal, that comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. And I'm starting to pay attention more to my triggers, because even though I went to therapy twice, I'm paying attention more to my triggers. Like, I'm actually sitting down and seeing, like, hey, what makes me get to these lows? What makes me get to these lows? And I know with the holidays, a lot of people are hitting their lows. You know, the weather is colder. And, you know, people are coming together. People are having gatherings. That's when I feel lows, when it comes down to, like, holidays, when it comes down to events, around birthdays, anything that involves people coming together, and like, I'm looking at myself, even though I try not to look at other people, but I just know that people are coming together, and, you know, just the not being invited, like, I be feeling alone sometimes, you know, not being invited to stuff. So I'm like, damn, you know, cross my arms. I'm like, damn, you know, this person fucks with me, but they're not inviting me to stuff. That would trigger anybody. You know, people say, like, hey, they rock with you and stuff, but everybody's coming together and, like, you're just at home staring at the walls. Like, holidays will trigger people because, like, you know, family ain't what it used to be sometimes. And, you know, everybody's spread out. Everybody's adults now. And some people will piss you off throughout the whole year, but want you to come around and be all smiles, merry, you know, let's get together, let's eat. But it's like, damn, you ain't been fucking with me all this year, but you want me to be all cheesing and stuff at your house and stuff. So holidays can trigger people, you know, seasonal depression. I used to have real bad seasonal depression around the holidays, but I had to come to realize that, hey, you know, let me start my own little thing, you know, let me stop seeing who I can spend Thanksgiving with. Let me stop seeing who I can spend Christmas with. Let me just do my own little thing. And, you know, that's what I did. I really started focusing more on making something else for myself and then for me and my daughter, basically. So I don't get sad around the holidays, because I'd be like, oh, I could do this and this and that. Me and Aaron could do this and that. To the point where when people invite me to stuff, I just be like, dang, do I really want to go? Do I really want to go? it's just a lot when it comes to, but I'm able to point out my triggers. I feel myself evolving. I think it feels good to evolve, but it's also weird because now that I'm starting to evolve and, you know, I'm starting to think different, stuff that I look at, I'd be like, that's not funny. I feel I'm really, really growing up. Like, I'm like, that's not funny. It's not funny no more. And a lot of people, you know, they be feeling a little bit low. Not like depressed low, but, you know, they be feeling a little bit low because it's cold outside. You know, all these different light shows are going on, all these parades and stuff. And it's cold. People want to be warm. People want to be booed up. And me, I want a cuddle buddy. I just want somebody I can cuddle with and watch TV with. But I know that's not possible because, you know, dudes be wanting stuff in return. And no, I'm not doing that. So, you know, I just get my warm ass blankets that I got from Curl Fest. Oh my goodness. I should have got 3 blankets. Those blankets are so warm. Oh, like, they need to start selling it. I wonder, do they sell that shit on their website? I'm gonna check it out one of these days. So, what else? So, my therapy experience, because I went twice. The first time I went, I was nervous as hell. Because I'm like, oh my God, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. But I introduced myself to her. She introduced herself to me. You know, we talked about certain things so she could figure out, you know, what I actually deal with. And with therapy, like, a lot of people think, like, I don't want nobody in my business. Oh, I don't want... You know, I don't want to, you know, I don't have the money and stuff. And, you know, that is, you know, I try to at least go once a month. And, you know, sometimes things happen to where I have to tell her, like, hey, I don't know when the next time I'm coming, but I'm definitely coming back. You know, I try not to be inconsistent. But, you know, therapists understand that. You know, they don't feel no type of way about you ghosting them or about you saying, hey, I'm gonna come see you next month, and then you don't come see them next month. But I introduced myself to her. She introduced herself to me. You know, a lot of people think, like, once you go to therapy, you're talking about your deep, deep, dark secrets. I told her what was going on with me currently. Because she had asked me. She was like, oh, well, what made you come to therapy and stuff? And I was like, to be honest, I just need somebody to talk to. I had called this number when I was having a little breakdown. And they told me that... they recommended me you in my area, so I decided to come to you. I told her what I had going on. So, you know, my daughter had just started school. And I was telling her, like, no, I think it was before my daughter started school. Dang, I know it was August, the end of July, beginning of August. So, yeah, my daughter had just started school. And I'm like, bro, I'm freaking out. Every time I have to do something related to my daughter, I'm getting triggered. Like, I'm about to freaking lose my shit because I don't know how I'm going to get off of work at 2 o'clock in the morning and make sure she's ready for school freaking almost, like, 4 hours later. So I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just a lot, it's just a lot, it's just a lot. You know, it's my first time going through this. And everybody else would be like, you know, everybody else that I've talked to, they'd be like, oh, you're fine and stuff. You'll get used to it. But it's like, no, I'm not used to, like, you know, just this whole process, because, you know, my daughter is going from elementary school, which is like this time to this time, coming home on the bus and then having to go to after school. And so, you know, it was a lot for me and her. And I was telling her, so I'm freaking out because, you know, my daughter's in school now. You know, my daughter's going to be coming to me and be like, hey, this kid said this to me, or this kid did this to me and stuff. And, you know, I just don't want my child to go through what I went through when it came down to elementary school. Because, you know, me, I was bullied and I didn't really stand up for myself. But she let me know, like, the way you describe your daughter, you have to understand that you and your daughter are two different people. And your daughter is actually, she's different from how you was. So, because on top of that, my daughter's an only child. Like, she don't have no close cousins that she could go through. She don't really, like, she just has herself. So I can see how, you know, my daughter could be, I don't, you know, I basically was just thinking about myself in the whole moment. Like, dang, like, if that was me by myself, I ain't had no real cousins like that around. I don't have no siblings like that. You know, I'll be on my freaking, you know, my nerves would be bad. But she made me realize that my daughter, me and my daughter are two different people. My daughter actually is more speak up for herself than I was when I was little. You know, my daughter has to be protected at all costs. So my daughter knows how to hold her own. And when she does come to me and talk to me, I think I was mostly freaking out because, like, I'm realizing that, wow, she's getting older. She's going to start talking to me more and asking me questions about life and people. And, you know, I just don't want my daughter to still be her happy self. Like, I don't want, you know, people in life to, like, you know, take that away from her, you know. I want to take her joy, make her change as a person, like, because that shit sucks, though, like, because me, I used to be, sometimes I wish I was, I do miss my old self, how I was before certain things happened to me, but I understand that certain things happen to me, you know, life happens, so sometimes I do miss my old self. I was more confident, I didn't really harp too much on things that are going on. You know, I knew how to control my emotions better, and, you know, I just knew how to deal with people. Even though I was younger, I just knew how to deal with people. Now, you know, I'm all emotional, and I'm always trying to help people out, and I'm nervous to talk to people now. But I had to realize I had to learn stuff so I can handle adult life better. And then being a parent, because, shoot, my child's only 6 years old. So, I still have a long way to go when it comes down to her. But, try to spend more time with my child. I believe things happen to me to make me refocus. Like, because now, like, my car is messed up. I got hit by a car. I'm like, what the hell? You know, I was fine and stuff. I have a small car and stuff. So I got hit by a car. My car is fine and stuff. So I'm like, okay. You know, the car's still able to drive. I'm still driving. I'm still doing. Notice certain things started messing up. Bam, engine messed up. So I'm like, damn, do I want to get the engine fixed? I just want to go get a whole nother car. That's just like my dilemma. But since I don't really have a car, you know, I'm really starting to utilize my resources more, and just thinking about the future of my transportation and how I'm able to handle stuff. One thing I'm learning how to do is adjust when things happen to me in life, and just realize that my time is just going to, I'm just gonna have to do stuff hours before I have to do it, because, you know, I have to get there, I have to come back, you know, make sure everything's in place and stuff. So, with my car being messed up, it really just sat up here. It made me focus on what I want to do, what I can do that doesn't require transportation. And then, I'm I'm talking more with people in my life and stuff. And I think it's good. One thing, because, like, this is December, so this is, like, a low-key end-of-the-year recap before the recap. So, me, I realized, you know, family is changing, and that how everybody was when we were kids, you know, we're adults now, so everybody's different. So I gotta learn how to be an adult around my family, and, you know, let them know that I'm an adult too. Cause I still get treated like a kid from certain people. I also focus more on the people that supported me. And sometimes I be mad at myself because I wish I didn't do it sooner. So, because I'm like, wow, like, I'm happy. Like, I feel good about myself after I leave a conversation, interaction with my friends and stuff. So, that's one thing I'm starting to do. That's one thing I did this year. I focused more on people that supported me. I hung out more with those same people and stuff. I used to be so mad, focusing all my energy on people that don't support me, people that do fuck with me, just being so disappointed in how I was just getting treated by people that I've done so much for. So I focused on people that supported me, or what else. I started putting my foot down more. Mostly when it came down to dudes. Started putting my foot down more. I realized that there's nothing wrong with my standards. And that, you know, the standard is set. Even if I try to change it, the standard is set. You know, my dad constantly talks to me, lets me know, don't be having no dude up in your crib. Don't be with no dude that can't do nothing for you. So the standard is set. You know, it's hard for me to be a humble dater now. But then I also decided to stick with abstinence. You know, just to focus on my career and stuff. And focus on building something. So focus on abstinence helps me focus. And then also, it's just, if a person can't respect that, then it narrows down, basically, when it comes down to my interaction with guys anyway. You know, the guys that just want some booty, and they hear that I'm abstinent, and they hear that I'm serious about it, they're going to be like, oh. And, you know, they're gonna know how to act accordingly. They better. But also, what else I've done? Like I said, I used my resources more. I went out more. You know, I enjoyed nature a lot. What else? I found ways to make money. Found more ways to make money. I handled my business this year. Like, I'm so proud of myself. One thing I'm trying to do more is self-care. Because a person had asked me, well, what do you do for self-care? And I'm like, I was stuck. I'm like, damn, what do I do for self-care? So with self-care, you know, from what I'm reading, it says it's necessary human regulatory function, which is under individual's control, deliberate, and self-initiate. Some place self-care on continuing with healthcare providers at the opposite. Oh, this relates to healthcare. But, you know, self-care, you know, drinking water. Of course, drinking water, taking care of your body, you know, doing your nails, you know, doing your hair, cleaning up your room. That could be self-care. I know one thing, I would say that's one of my self-care things I do is clean up, declutter, because that does play a way into your mental. I try to declutter. I try to clean. Oh, I seen a picture on Facebook. Like, a guy took a picture of this girl's bathroom. There was just clothes all over the place in the sink, hairspray in the sink. Toilet was dirty. There's clothes behind the toilet. And I'm like, jeesh. And I think a lot. The environment. Because if a person is comfortable with you going into their bathroom while it looks like that, then that's the type of environment they was raised in. You know, a lot of people are hoarders. So they just keep a lot of stuff everywhere. Or some people just be constantly have ADHD. But listen, I be depressed and stuff. But one thing I do, I keep my bathroom clean. I keep my clothes washed because I don't like having a whole bunch of clothes piled up and then having to wash a million clothes in one load. Mm-mm. But that's one thing I like to do. You know, make sure place is clean, burn a candle, burn some incense, reorganize. But with self-care, I think when it comes down to my body, one thing I'm lacking when it comes to self-care is getting sleep. I be going to bed like freaking 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and then I have to turn around and get my daughter up to go to school. I mean, catch the bus to go to school. So that's one thing I'm trying to do is take my butt to bed at night. But since I work till like late at night, it kind of messes me up when I'm not at work, because I still be up. So I'm trying to go to bed at a decent time and stuff, because sleep does play a role in, you know, your body. I mean, of course, sleep does play a role in your body. But, you know, with, like, you know, how your stomach digests food, and, you know, if you're not getting that much sleep, sometimes you could be, like, retaining water, and, you know, have headaches and stuff. I remember I woke up one time with a mean headache because I tried to, like, get 2 hours of sleep and then turn around and get back up. So that's one thing I'm trying to do more, is take better care of myself. You know, I tried to do my own nails, and they look kind of cute. They look lumpy though. I didn't like that shit. But you know, beginner. But I went to go do hair, and by the time I got done for doing the person's hair, all my nails were popped off. So, you know, but I did like the feeling of having nails though. And what's another thing? I exercise. I'm trying to be consistent with my exercise. Because me, I like to block off a certain amount of time to really exercise and stuff. Because I've been slipping when it comes to exercise. But if I don't block off a certain amount of time to do cardio, or if it's too late at night, you know, I'll do some squats. I do little abs. I do like jumping jacks or a little dancing and stuff. You know, just keep the body active, keep the blood flowing. So that's my little thing of self-care. I need to start back doing face masks, because I feel as though my skin is kind of coming back together. But, you know, the weather will mess it up real quick. So, trying to do more face masks. Try not to buy, you know, the store face masks, because I can't even pronounce half the ingredients. But I'm going to try to do some at-home face masks. And let's just see how my skin turns out. I just need moisture. That's it. I just need moisture in my skin. I have oily skin, and you would think because I have oily skin that my skin is going to be, but having shine on top of dryness just looks so weird. So I need to put some more moisture in it. So when I touch my face, I'm like, ooh, my face feels so soft, feels so moisturized. So with the weather, you know, it's cold. To be honest, it's mostly windy. It don't even be that cold. But Georgia wind be feeling like snowman don't punch you in the face and stuff. So one thing I'm trying to put together is a sad girl playlist. And it's not really sad. It's just like, you know, just songs you could just vibe to when you're just at home by yourself. Just writing in your journal or just laying in bed and stuff. So I'm going to put together a sad girl playlist. Put that on YouTube. It's a lot of songs that I listen to that I have to go through. I have to go through the songs. I have to download the songs. I have to put the songs in order in a video. Then I have to export the video and then upload it. So I'm going to put that playlist out ASAP, you know, before December is over. I'm trying to figure out when I want to get Disney Plus, because I heard something about if you have Verizon, but I don't have Verizon, which sucks, that you get a whole year free. See, that's enough for me to watch everything, you know, watch all my nostalgia, catch up on movies that I've missed that have sequels and sequels and sequels. And then also, my daughter never seen Lion King. I'm like, how are you 6 years old and you never seen Lion King? So, I want her to watch Lion King and whatnot. I might just buy it for 3 months. I think, what's that, $7? Yeah, you know, do it for 3 months. So, me and her could watch something. But Disney Plus showed out. Shoot, I'm trying to give me a little boo so me and him could watch some That's So Raven and talk about our favorite episodes and stuff. But, yeah. It's a lot of nostalgia that I want to watch. But then I'm going to get sad because I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember how old I was. I remember what I was doing when this episode came out. Oh. It's so crazy. But I want to leave people with a definition of unbothered, because if you have to announce that you're unbothered, you're bothered, sweetie. Like, oh, Omarion is the definition of unbothered. He was not studying them. You ain't hear nothing from nobody about how he felt. None of that stuff. He was just like, bro, that's their business. That's their business. And one thing I definitely agreed with him on, especially when you have a kid by somebody, change the narrative. You can do what you gotta do. Just don't drag me. That's it. I constantly tell people when it comes down to my child's father, like, I don't care what that man do. As long as our child is safe, that's it. But don't be sitting up there in these people's faces trying to make the next person feel better by dragging me and talking about me and trying to say I was this, trying to say I was that. Like, that's, like, however I was towards you, obviously there was a reason. But just don't be having me out here looking crazy to where when a person does come to me and stuff, they don't think I'm just straight trash. Like, change the narrative and stuff. That's it. Just change the narrative. Like, you can do what you gotta do, but if you're gonna talk about me. Tell the truth or don't say shit at all. Period. Like, that's it. Ooh, like, I relate so much. Like, people want him to be messy, but no. Like, when you actually don't, I won't say actually don't give a F about the person you had a child by, but when you actually don't care when you basically move the fuck on, basically what it is. When all you're like, hey, I'm just worried about the kids, that's it. When you actually move on from the person that you have a kid by, you don't want to be in a relationship with them. You know, you try to build some type of friendship or type of co-parenting ship, you know, just for the kids, you know, the kid doesn't feel that energy and stuff. That's it. That's what it looks like. So many people be running back to their baby daddies, their baby mamas, that when they see a person that's like Omarion, they're like, they're suspicious. Ain't nothing to be suspicious about. When you don't want nothing else to do with that person, you just focus on your kid, that's just how it be. And being unbothered is literally what it is, being unbothered. Like, you don't care. Like, stuff don't faze you at all. Like me, that's one thing I constantly do is be unbothered. Like, of course, in the back of my mind, I could be like, you know what? I could react to this and this and this and that way. I could cuss this person out. But you know what? Nah, I'm just going to remove myself from the situation and just focus on myself and focus on my child or kids or how many or whatever you got going on. That's it. Like, being unbothered, like, you feel so much better. Like, because so then when somebody does come up to you with some BS, you're like, you know how to handle it. It's just maturity. It's just growing up. Thank you for listening to the Country Caribbean podcast. I've been your host, Aileen. Make sure you subscribe, you share, you tell a friend. Yeah. You can follow me on Instagram at Country Caribbean, and you can check out my Facebook at the Country Caribbean podcast. I will be back with another episode, I would say a couple days from now. Well, thank you for listening. Enjoy your day.